what's on my heart is, and really what I'm going to be ministering on, is the Word that prevails. Amen. Thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. Who's so thankful for His Word?
Yes. Amen.
I mean, you know that you could just, when it comes to hunger and thirst, be hungry for His Word. Amen. That you would hunger after His Word. Hallelujah. I mean, God's given us His Word, and we understand, amen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But His Word is the thing in our lives. His Word is that very power that prevails. Amen? And so for you to prevail, well, how are you going to prevail without God's Word? No, it's God's Word that prevails. God's Word doesn't change. As a matter of fact, God's Word will never cease. Amen? Isn't that awesome? God's Word will never, ever cease to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. His Word doesn't change. His Word is. Amen? So it's very important that in our lives that we have the Word of God and we, I mean, you know, think about it. You can fill yourself up with a lot of things, but I recommend His Word. Amen? And as His Word gets on the inside of you, then His Word is going to come out of you. Amen? So no matter what the situation. So that's really, I'm going to minister along the lines of the Word of God prevails. Amen? God's Word prevails, and it will begin to propel. His Word will begin to prevail in your life as it comes out of your life. Amen? But it's got to go in first. So we're going to look at some things. The foundation scripture for this message is Acts 19, verse 20. And we're also going to look at Acts 12, verse 24. Amen? And I'll read out of the New King James Version. Acts 19, 20 says, "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." Amen? Hallelujah. It grew mightily and it prevailed. Now, why is that? Amen? Why is it that the Word of God grew mightily and prevailed? Because the people were being taught the Word. The people were believing, amen, and trusted in God's Word. And as they were being taught, then they began to what? Demonstrate. So the Word, it's very important that we understand that the Word is not just to be taught. Amen? It's not just to be preached. It's also to be demonstrated. Amen? A lot of people, when it comes to the Word, have a head knowledge of the Word, but they don't have a heart knowledge. But it's the Word, when you have heart knowledge of it, is what's going to come out of you. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why I love the Bible in its entirety. I don't pick and choose. Amen? You know what I'm talking about, how people would pick and choose what part of the Bible that they would believe. No, believe it all. Amen? Trust in God's Word. His Word does not change. Amen? As a matter of fact, God says that He upholds His Word above His name. Isn't that powerful? When you think about it, He upholds His Word above His name. Hallelujah. So we can see Acts 19:20. "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." And the Word of God will prevail in your life. Amen? Over every situation, every circumstance, the Word of God will prevail. In Acts 12, verse 24 says, "But the Word of God grew and multiplied." Amen? There is something about God's Word growing. Amen? And multiplying. Hallelujah. Woo. That God's Word would grow in your life and begin to multiply as you, amen, then teach, preach, and demonstrate that Word to others. Very important. Amen? So the number one point tonight is the power of God is in and on the Word. The power of God is in and on the Word. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. God's word is full of power. Amen?
Yes.
And what kind of power? Power to change. Power to change a person. Power to change a place. Amen? Power to change an entire region. Power to change a circumstance. Power to give life. Amen? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It has power to save. Amen? Think about it. He calls in and on God's word, even as the word prevailed, and even as the word grew, and even as it multiplied. What does that mean? That means that the church grew. The church prospered. The church, amen, began to expand. It was through God's word, hallelujah, as the gospels preached, that it began to go about in different regions. Can you imagine? Even like Paul, who went and preached in Asia, in a span of 2.5 years, that all of Asia heard the word. Amen? Glory to the Lamb of God. Woo! I mean, that is when you see God's word prevailing. Amen? In such a powerful way. The word of God will prevail over sin, will prevail over sickness, will prevail over disease, amen, will prevail over every work of the devil, because I tell you what, Jesus destroyed the work of the devil, amen, but it was through Him, the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. It was through Him, though, not just teaching and preaching, but demonstrating the Word, and we can do the same, and it will prevail over anything, amen, in every area. You know, the Word works no matter what it is, amen. No matter what area it is, it covers everything. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's really, if you think about it too, the word prevails over what? Over death. Amen? Over death. Because the word only brings life. Hallelujah. You know, we understand the word brings correction. We understand, but think about it. God's word. I mean, it's not a book of just full of rules. That's where people get it wrong. It's not just a book full of rules. Amen? It's a book of life. It's a living word. Amen? It is alive. It is like a two-edged sword. Amen? Hallelujah. It is active and alive. And it prevails over every situation. In life, every area, it covers not just the bases, it covers everything. Amen? From the littlest of things to the biggest of issues. Amen? That's what's so powerful about the Word. Hallelujah. So remember that. Hallelujah. But the Word, too, can totally radically change the nation. Look, I talked about Asia. I talked about how Paul preached in Asia. This world, remember, it was when the church rose up in power, what happened? They rose up in power, they rose up in boldness, that what does it say? That they turned the world upside down. Amen? Hallelujah. So, there's power to turn this world upside down. There's power in the Word to change this nation and what's going on. Amen? But it'll go from there. It'll go. Hallelujah. I believe, get ready. You will see a great increase and an outward going of missionaries once again. Get ready. You're about to see it. Amen? And it'll go. They'll be going in places. But it's not just going to be missionaries that are going to go to paint houses and put roofs on people's dwellings. Amen? Come on. Not just going to be about that. Do you need to do those things? Absolutely. But it will be with the preaching of the gospel and the demonstrating of the gospel. I see a wave of missionaries that are full of God's power that will bring that power to a lost and dying world, because the word will prevail. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo, I see that happening. I see that. So number one, the power of God is in and on the word. Number two, faith makes the word prevail. Amen? Faith makes the word prevail. Faith comes when the word prevails over the thinking process. A lot of people try to reason themselves out of the word of God. How many people you know like that? Mm-hmm. They'll talk a scripture, or even you'll give them a scripture. They might be in a situation, have an issue, and you'll even speak the word of God in their life, and then this is what they say. But you don't know what I'm going through. But, well, see, they need to have faith in the word. Otherwise, the thinking process is going to get in the way of the word.
Amen?
Get in the way of what God's word wants. Because God's word is His will for us. It's the known will of God that's for you and what He wants to do. But if people's thinking process gets in the way, then how can the word prevail in their lives? That's why many people are in their situations that they're in. Because they don't allow the word to work. Amen? They don't receive the word. How is that word going to prevail? Matthew 8:23-27 says, I'm not going to read it all, but you can read it on your devotional time. It says, the word prevailed in Jesus' lips over the laws of nature. Amen? The word prevailed in Jesus' lips over the law of nature. So the word of God prevails over nature. Amen? The laws of nature. Think about that. Amen? You know what? I said I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to go there. We're preaching on the word tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23-27. Amen? And I'll read it in the Amplified. Hallelujah. That's Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. And it says, and after he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, behold, there arose a violent storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered up by the waves. But he was sleeping. And they went and awakened him, saying, Lord, rescue and preserve us. We are perishing. You know, I'll just mention there. What did they think? What, were they believing in Jesus? Were they believing? They were seeing the miracles. But here it is. And then out of their mouth, they're in the middle of the storm. And look what comes out of their mouth. We're perishing. We're all going to die. And it says in verse 26, and he said to them, why are you timid and afraid, O you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great and wonderful calm, a perfect peaceableness. Peaceableness. Isn't that awesome? He spoke, and everything. He changed. You see, the word prevails over nature. Amen? Hallelujah. Look, you can see even, I won't go there necessarily, but he spoke to a fig tree. All, every realm of nature. Amen? He spoke to a fig tree. The fig tree withered up and died because it wasn't bearing fruit. So you have power, amen, through the word of God to speak when the hurricane wants to come and wipe out the Rio Grande Valley. Guess what? It can't come here. I rebuke you, hurricane. You move, hurricane. Amen? When the storm comes, whatever it is, over nature. Hallelujah. We have power through the word of God over the laws of nature. Also, if you go back just a little bit, let's go to Matthew 8. Same chapter. Just go back to verse 5 through 13. 5 through 13. Hallelujah. I'll read in the Amplified. As Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up to him, begging him and saying, Lord, my servant boy is lying at the house, paralyzed and distressed with intense pains. And Jesus said to him, I will come and restore him. But the centurion replied to him, Lord, I am not worthy or fit to have you come under my roof. But only speak the word, and my servant boy will be cured. For I also am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard him,
He marveled and said to those who followed him, who adhered steadfastly to him, conforming to his example in living and, if need be, in dying also. I tell you truly, I have not found so much faith as this with anyone, even in Israel. And I tell you, many will come from east and west and will sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons and heirs of the kingdom will be driven out into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. Then to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." And the servant boy was restored to health at that very moment. He said, "You just need to speak the word." It was faith in the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus' word prevailed over disease, over sickness, over illness. Amen. The word prevails over any infirmity. Amen. Hallelujah. People say, they don't have a cure for that. I've got a cure for it. It's the word of God. Amen. Faith in God's word, hallelujah, will bring healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They say there's no cure for HIV AIDS. I've got a cure. It's faith in God and His Word. Amen? His Word prevails over sickness, over disease. Hallelujah. You just need to get a born-again, Spirit-filled believer to go in there that knows the Word, to pray with the sick. Amen? And guess what? As they begin to speak the Word, do what the Word says. Amen? Then guess what? Healing comes. So we can see Jesus' word prevailed over disease. Amen? Then go with me to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, amen? And we'll look at verses 14 through 21. I'll start reading in the Amplified. "When he went ashore and saw a great throng of people, he had compassion, pity, and deep sympathy for them and cured their sick. When evening came, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote and barren place, and the day is now over. Send the throngs away into the villages to buy food for themselves.' Jesus said, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he ordered the crowds to recline on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and blessed and broke the loaves and handed the pieces to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 12 small hand baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, not including women and children." Can you imagine the crowd, the size of that crowd? Amen? But what happened here? Jesus' word, amen, as he spoke, handed it out, it prevailed over lack. The word of God prevails over lack. Amen? But it'll bring a surplus, an abundance. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's why we just have to just take His word, amen, and apply it in our lives. Many people hear the word, but they don't apply it. Amen? But it's when you apply it. Hallelujah. That's so powerful. And then 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 in the New King James Version says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it." Listen to how this goes. How this, amen? God's demonstrating to us through His word. This is very powerful. "You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Who does it work for? The one who believes. Amen? They received it. They took it. This is not man's word. This is God's word. And I'm going to receive it. I'm going to do what it says. I'm going to believe in it. And then guess what? It's going to work in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So faith makes the word prevail. Number three, the word prevails over the senses. Amen? The word prevails over the senses. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 through 22. In the King James, says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Let me say that. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. Faith prevailed over fear and hope and sense knowledge in the mind and the heart of Abraham. Amen. So it prevailed over his senses. Amen. It prevailed over every area. Look. He was an old man. Sarah, an old woman. Amen? Barren. But did that faze Abraham? No. Not at all. He allowed that to prevail. I mean, he could have. I mean, think about it. When God tells you to leave, to get out, go here, I'm going to take you into a place, and then takes you into places, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And it just looks totally impossible in the natural. But you can see it was Abraham's faith, amen, which the Word of God describes as the father of us all, who is a father of faith, amen. But it did not affect his senses. It did not affect his feelings and emotions. He may have been, you know, think about it. He may have had a huge challenge ahead of him, but it didn't faze him. He did not have fear. Amen? So faith prevailed over fear. Faith prevailed. Amen? Hope is always in the future. Hope is always in the future. It's a dream. Amen? But faith reaches out and grabs hope and brings it into the present. In the sense of, if you look at hope, hope is not real. Has anyone ever seen hope? Hope is not real. But what faith does is it reaches out into the realm of hope. Amen? What you hope for. And it pulls it into the realm of the real. Amen? Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to hope. We say that again. Faith gives substance to hope. Faith is the evidence that you have it even when you still haven't seen it. Amen? Abraham's faith in God's word to him brought God's promise to pass. Amen? That's why when the word of God, when God says something, it promises you something. Amen? His word promises you something. It is faith in that. Amen? That will bring it into existence. It will bring it to pass. Amen? You don't look at the situation or the natural or your senses or your feelings or your reasonings. You put your trust in God's word. Amen? Which then will bring it to pass. Amen? So number three, the word prevails over the senses. Number four, the power of the word on our lips. Amen? God's power, the power of His word on our lips that will prevail. Amen? Acts 6 verse 7 says, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith, as they preached and as they practiced what they had learned from the Master's lips, from Jesus' lips. Amen? What happened? The word of God increased. It increased. The word of God is eternal. Like God, it is ever young and ever now. Amen? That's so awesome. That God's word, like Him, is eternal. It's always, amen, young. It's ever new. The word of God is not only a part of Him, it's who He is. Amen? That's why many people don't even have a clue what God is like. Why? Because they don't read the word. That's why people think, well, God's mean. Or God's just some God that's in the sky that's going to chop you with lightning. You know what I'm saying? Like a lightning strike. Send a lightning strike to take you out. They don't know my God. Amen? He's a loving God. God is love. Amen? He's caring. He's not going to do anything towards you. Amen? If you serve Him. Amen? No, if you're against God, if you're against God, then you put your life in your own hands. Amen? But I'm telling you what, as you serve God, you're putting your life in His hands. Amen? But even that, to those people that are hating on God, that are God haters, we pray for their salvation. Amen? And it's through the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. So it doesn't mean that it gives anyone the right to be mean to anybody. Amen? You've got to demonstrate a Christian lifestyle. And you're going to do that the best is when you allow God's word to prevail in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 24 verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Glory to the Lamb of God. His word will never pass away. Jesus, the Father, and the Word are one. John 14 verse 9 says in the New King James Version, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Amen? John 12 verses 49. John 12, verses 49 and 50. I'll read in the Amplified. This is because I have never spoken on my own authority or of my own accord or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. And I know that his commandment means eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say, and in accordance with his instructions.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, you know, that's the thing. That's when you can see Jesus. That's why Jesus was fearless.
Amen.
That's why he was fearless. You see in different areas. I mean, Jesus was fearless in the presence of disease. He was fearless in the presence of demons.
Amen.
He was fearless. He had no fear. He was without fear.
Amen.
Demon, sickness, disease. He would touch the leper. He was operating in the Word, because he was the Word that became flesh.
Amen.
But think about it. That's why he was fearless. He spoke the Father's words, and he knew that they would never fail.
Amen.
But that the Word would prevail.
Amen.
Very important. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince or reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching."
Amen.
Be ready means be urgent, or keep your sense of urgency.
Amen.
Should always have a sense of urgency. Hallelujah. Jesus preached the Word and it healed the sick. It broke the power of demons over people.
Amen.
But it was through what? The Word. He preached the Word. He preached the Word. He preached what the Father, amen, was saying. The apostles preached the Word and the sick were healed. The dead were raised and multitudes of people received new life.
Amen.
To preach the Word means to preach Christ, because He is the Word. So you understand, when you're preaching the Word,
amen,
when you're speaking the Word, you're speaking Jesus into that situation. Hallelujah. To preach the gospel means to preach the Word, which is good news. So you're preaching. It might look negative. That's why you get a report from your doctor that's negative. What does the Word say? The Word is literally, it's good news.
Amen.
So you speak the good news into that situation.
Amen.
Because that's what the Father, that's what Jesus, that's what the Holy Spirit is giving you.
Amen.
And that's what they want you to speak. Not to speak doubt or unbelief. Number five. The Word makes us love. The Word makes us love. John 13, verse 34 and 35. I'm going to read it out of the Message. "Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other.
Amen.
Love was the unseen power that governed the early church, and it should be the same unseen power that is governing the church today.
Amen.
But there's so much gossip and backbiting and judgment and all this nonsense going on in the church. But it is through love.
Amen.
So the Word makes us love, or causes us to love.
Amen.
1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, For God is love. Very important. Amen? So we got to follow God's word. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So, according to the word of God, if you don't love your brother, guess what? You abide in death. That's powerful. Why is it that the church is not teaching this? You know? That's why it's very important not to have unforgiveness against people. That's where people get offended by somebody. That's why there's even envy and strife with others. No, not here at the River Church. Zero strife policy. Amen? There's not going to be any of that. No. None. Amen? Why? Because it's through love. Amen? When you walk in the love of God, you prove that you are born again and have passed from death to life. Amen? That's what you're demonstrating. You're actually demonstrating through the love of God. Amen? And you pass from death to life. 1 John 2, verse 10, in the Amplified Classic, says, whoever loves his brother, believer, abides or lives in the light. And in it, or in him, there is no occasion for stumbling or cause for error or sin. See the power of love. The love of God in your heart takes you out of the realm of wickedness, out of the realm of failure, out of the realm of sin, out of the realm, amen, come on, of anything that would be not of God or that would be unrighteous. It takes you out of the realm of that. No longer will your words cause offense or your actions lead others to do wrong. Amen? Very important. You say, well, what does that mean? One of the things, one of the reasons, amen, for you to live a Christian lifestyle that demonstrates God's word and allow his word to prevail is that you're an example to others. And that's why you don't cause others to stumble and fall. Because what does the Bible say about you causing someone else to stumble and fall? It says it'd be better if you had a millstone tied around your neck and you thrown into the ocean. Amen? So, very important that we love. Amen? And allow the love of God. That's why you say, and I'm just going to go right back to the word. Amen? Because why do people not have love in their heart? Well, do they have the word of God in their heart? Amen? Because you really question if they even have Jesus in their heart. You see how it works. Amen? Number six, and the final point for this message, the word makes us conquerors. Hallelujah. The word makes us conquerors. You can say it this way, the word makes us or causes us to conquer. Amen? If you hate your brother, you are living in darkness. The word has not prevailed in your life. You are walking as a common, unchanged man. But, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envy and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? Amen. But listen to this. Many believers, because the word has not prevailed over them, live in defeat in every area of their life. Amen. Because it's got to, look, we see, where the word would conquer over your life. Amen. Where literally the word would be what moves you. Amen. Not your flesh, not your feelings. Amen. Not your emotions, and definitely not your reasonings. Amen. As long as you only mentally assent to the word, but don't act on it, you will struggle with sickness, with disease, with lack, with sin, with different things.
Amen.
But you have to surrender to it.
Amen.
And you have to allow it to overtake your life. Philippians 4, verse 19 in the Amplified Classic says, "And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." When the Word prevails in your life, you have plenty for yourself and to share with others.
Amen?
So actually, you can conquer in the realm of finances. You can conquer in the realm of sickness and disease. You can conquer over every single situation.
Amen?
Any issue. It will be the Word that will cause you to conquer it. But you must conquer your flesh first. You must conquer those things that would limit you first.
Amen?
Psalms 27, that's Psalm 27, verse 1 in the Amplified Classic says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?"
Amen.
And closing with a last scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, in the Amplified Classic says, "Not that we are fit, qualified, and sufficient in ability of ourselves to form personal judgments or to claim or count anything as coming from us, but our power and ability and sufficiency are from God."
Amen.
So it is God's word in our lives as we take it and apply it. Amen. You won't have lack.
Amen.
You'll have supernatural power, supernatural sufficiency.
Amen.
Supernatural. Hallelujah. You are conquering.
Amen.
You will conquer life when the Word of God is used.
Amen.
And used the right way. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do now?
Amen.
Allow the Word to prevail in your life, in every area of your life, no matter what the situation is, in every situation or circumstance. Remember, that's why you go to the Word.
Amen.
That's why I say this. I mean, many times people will be going through something, and you ask them, "Well, what Word are you standing on? What Bible verse are you standing on?" And people can't even give you one scripture. Well, maybe they can. Jesus wept. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're crying over their situation.
Amen?
And Jesus wept actually is the shortest verse in the Bible. So think about it. But what kind of power are they going to demonstrate in their life? If you think that they're going to prevail over life? No. But the Word prevails.
Amen?
Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. That your Word prevails in every area of our life. I speak prosperity, Lord God, according to your word, that you maketh one rich and adds no sorrow to it. So I proclaim that over every person, Lord God. And Jesus, by your stripes, they were and are healed, that there would be no sickness or disease that can remain, but I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that health and wealth will be our portion. Lord God, that you want to prosper us here upon this earth. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to get it, but we can have it now. Lord, every stronghold that would be over anybody's mind, Lord God, that it is pulled down, that reasonings, people's reasonings, that would get in the way of believing your word, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I rebuke every stronghold. I rebuke everything that would hold you back and limit you from walking in God's Word. But I thank you, Lord God. Even as you are our strength. You are our strong and mighty tower. We find refuge in you. And I thank you, Lord God, for moving in the hearts of your people, Lord God. That everyone under the sound of my voice, as they hear this, Lord God, something is going to shake in them and they're going to say, It's time for me to get back to the Word. It's time for me to get back to believing the Word. And it's time for me to get back and by faith begin to activate that Word in my life. And I thank you for it, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, as the Word prevails, then the Word will prevail every single time in everyone's life. And we'll put it to work and believe it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to pray with you watching, anyone here, amen, that has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For those that know they're out of God's will, I'm going to pray with you, for you. I'm going to ask this question. If you were to breathe out your last breath, where would you spend eternity? You don't have to go to a devil's hell because 2,000 years ago Jesus died. He rose from the grave and He ascended into heaven and He sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for you. He is ruling and reigning. And He loves you. And He's calling you home right now. He's calling you into the family of God. Look, many people, you might feel out of place. You might feel lost in this world. Because you haven't encountered God in His love. And He wants to touch your heart. He wants to take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. So if you don't know, if you were to die, then you would go to heaven. I mean, you got to know it. Maybe there's doubt. Maybe there's other things that have come in your life that have taken you out of the will of God. Maybe you asked Jesus into your heart at one time, but you would say right now, you could honestly say, I know I'm not a 5 burning on fire hot for Jesus. You would just take a simple scale of 1 to 5. You know you're not a 5. You know if you're anything but a 5, then you can rededicate your life to Jesus. And He'll set you ablaze. And you can come back to Jesus and fall in love with Him all over again. So pray this prayer with me. Amen. Even those out there, you know the devil keeps lying to you. The devil's telling you you're not saved, you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. Maybe even you're bound by fear. You have a fear of dying. Then pray this prayer with me. And believe it in your heart. Say it out loud. After me, say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Set me free. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. I believe you have risen from the dead and that one day you are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am born again. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen and amen. As you prayed that prayer, you became a child of God. Many even came, you had prayed the prayer of salvation at one time. You were serving God, but something took you out. And you came back and rededicated your life. And God is going to touch you and begin to use you in a powerful way. Amen. I'm just going to pray over you, Lord. Seal every single person that prayed that prayer. By your word, by the blood, and by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit. That on that day in heaven, at the great feast, that they will be present. And they will be there. Spending eternity with you, Lord Jesus. For eternity. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's awesome. Hallelujah. So let the Word of God prevail in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we love you. God loves you. And we will see you soon. God bless. Amen.